All right, Isaiah 41, if you didn't hear that the first time. So, Isaiah chapter number 41, hope you're doing well this evening. All right. Isaiah chapter 41, let's stand, if you would, for the reading of God's word, out of respect and reverence, and then we'll get into the message for tonight. Isaiah 41, one verse tonight, verse number 10. The Bible says in Isaiah 41, 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Let's read that one more time. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for this night. And God, thank you for this opportunity to speak to these folks. Lord, I don't take it lightly. I take it as a privilege, Lord, to speak to these people. I pray that, God, you would meet with us in the next few moments tonight. These people don't need to hear me talk, but they need to hear you speak to them. And Lord, I need it as well. I pray that, God, you would show up right now, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would give us exactly what we need, Lord. God, as I mentioned before, I don't know what everybody's going through, Lord, but God, you do, and you can do something about it. So I pray that, God, you would, through your word tonight, and Lord, speak to hearts. I pray that, God, they would see past me and hear the message from you. And Lord, I pray also, Lord, that I would decrease, that you would increase, Lord, that people would see you and hear you tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would help me, give me the help that I need to get it across to people and make it very clear, Lord. I don't want to get, overly technical with things or make it confusing, Lord. I want it to be very clear what you want from our lives. So I pray that you would do that for us tonight. I pray you would forgive me of my sins and fill me with your spirit, focus me on the scripture. And Lord, bless our time together. Lord, we want you to speak to our hearts. We don't know how much time we may have left, Lord, but God, help us to get about serving you and live a life that counts for you, Lord. We pray that you would bless us with that tonight. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Book of Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet of the Lord to the nation of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah, about 150 years before destruction came. That destruction came in the form of the Babylonian captivity that was 70 years long. So he was this prophet to the nation of Israel about 150 years before the destruction came. Chapters 1 through 39 of the book of Isaiah, he is confronting the sin of the people. He's saying, listen, God doesn't like this. God doesn't allow this. He's getting on them and calling out the different sins of the people in the beginning part of the book. The rest of the book, the second half of the book, from chapters 40 through 66, he comforts the saints. So the first half, 1 through 39, he's confronting sin and he's getting on it. The rest of the book, 40 through 66, he's comforting the saints and telling them why the shift takes place is God's looking forward to those that are in the captivity. And as they're going through this tough time, God's comforting them, and Isaiah's comforting them by reminding them God hasn't forgotten about them. Listen, it doesn't matter how messed up you may be or how down and out you may feel right now, God hasn't forgotten about you.
That's right.
And he's comforting them. And basically, his comfort takes three different forms in the rest of the book here. First of all, he talks about how God is going to release them from captivity. This happened in 539 BC. So Isaiah is written in the 700s, so about 200 years or so in the future, their captivity would be over. They would be released from Babylon and allowed to go back. Very interesting prophecy. Let me share it with you real quick. Of a man named Cyrus. Now again, I just mentioned Isaiah is written about 700 BC before Christ. We have a prophecy of Cyrus, a king of Persia, here in chapter 41. But I want you to also look just real quick in chapter 45. The first verse, it says, "Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus." And then he talks about what he's going to do for the Lord. You say, what's the big deal about that? What's so interesting about that? What's so interesting about it is he calls this guy by name. This guy isn't even born for another 100 years to 130 years later. He calls him by name, not only says that he's going to be born, but that he's going to be a ruler and that he's going to deliver God's people from Babylon. What an amazing thing. Listen, it's a privilege that we get to read the Word of God every day and that we get to let it control our lives and guide our paths. And this is just one example how God is going to release them from captivity through this man, the king of Persia named Cyrus. The second way that God's going to comfort them is by the role of Christ. The rest of Isaiah and chapter 53 and other places, it talks about how Jesus Christ would come and how he would suffer in our place and bleed and hang and die on the cross for us. Isaiah 53 and a couple other selected references, it talks about how his beard was going to be ripped out and how his visage would be so marred, his face would be so marred, more disfigured than any man, and his form than the sons of man. Jesus was beat and brutalized so much he didn't even look human. Then Isaiah 53, where it talks about all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, on Christ, the iniquity of us all. All these prophecies, these are to comfort the people. He's saying God's going to release you from captivity. Also, you need to see the role of Christ. And then the last thing that he gives to comfort them is their remarkable culmination, the children of Israel, that is. He's saying in the future, in the end, there's going to be a kingdom that lasts for 1,000 years, and that kingdom is going to be set up and run from the city of Jerusalem with Jesus Christ literally, bodily, sitting on the throne from Jerusalem. You say, is that really going to happen? You better believe it's going to happen. And he's trying to comfort them. He's saying, listen, folks, I know things are tough on you, and things are only going to get worse before they get better, but God's going to comfort you. Don't worry about it. And even though things may be tough, things will get better in the future. And as these burdens begin to weigh heavily on these folks, Isaiah challenges them with this thought. And this is basically what we're going to be focused on tonight. Don't forget who's helping you. Don't forget who's helping you. I tell you, nowadays it seems like it's harder and harder to live for God. And it seems like fewer and fewer people are staying faithful. Right. Seems like everywhere you look, somebody's fallen, somebody's quit, and somebody's given up. And listen, we don't feel anything bad for those people. We should pray for those people because God can restore them. But however, it does take an effect on us. And I tell you, even those that haven't quit yet, I see more defeated and depressed and dry and dead Christians around nowadays. It's depressing. It really is. They walk around like we're on the losing side, not on the winning side. And it seems like there's no hope and there's no point to serving God anymore. And let me tell you something. That takes an effect. That makes an effect on other people. I'm just saying it doesn't have to be that way. But I don't want to buy into that personally. It doesn't matter what may go on around me. I don't want to buy into that in my life. However, these things are realities. We can't just act like they don't exist because they're there. It happens. It's reality. It is what it is. So what are we supposed to do? I'm saying tonight that as these burdens begin to weigh heavily on us, we need to be challenged tonight with this thought. Don't forget who's helping you. Don't forget who's helping you. Listen, it may get tough. Things may get worse before they get better. Listen, and I don't know about you, but I wouldn't look at the government for help. I wouldn't look at politicians for help. I wouldn't look at the polls for help. I don't expect my help to come from there. I only need to look to Christ. That's where I get my help. That's where I get my encouragement. That's where I get my strength. And that's where you need to get it too. Don't forget who's helping you. Listen, it seems like people are falling everywhere. And it seems like those that are still here, some of them get a little wobbly. Listen, you don't have to get like that. I don't have to get like that. I know sometimes it gets depressing and sometimes it feels like there's no point. But there is a point to serving God. Don't forget who's helping you. Don't forget who's in your corner. Don't forget who's on your side. Listen, the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? The answer to that question is a whole lot of people, but they can't win. Don't forget who saved you. Don't forget who changed you. Don't forget who helped you out in those tough circumstances. Don't forget about that when things are depressing around you, when things look like defeat on every hand, when it looks like the world is getting worse and worse and that it'll never turn around. Don't you forget who's helping you. Amen. Listen, he saved you, he changed you, and he's promised that he's not going to be done messing with you until Jesus comes. I'm glad about it. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. That's when Jesus comes back. He's not done with you. He's not done with me. So my challenge to you tonight, Woodlawn, is this. Don't forget who's helping you. Don't forget about him. Listen, before you get so discouraged by everything going on around you and you quit or you slack up, look to him and realize he's the one that's helping me. Listen. I didn't get in this Christian life on my own, and I'm not going to finish it on my own. I've got somebody to help me. I've got somebody to strengthen me. When I can't make it, he's going to help me make it. When I can't pray, he'll help me pray. When I can't stand anymore, he'll be there and help me stand for God. Listen, I understand things get difficult, but the problem may be tonight that you've forgotten who's helping you. I want you to see a couple of truths out of this great verse here. Number one, I want you to see this about this message. Don't forget who's helping you. Number one, let's read the verse. Verse number 10, it says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." I want you to see point number one, the first idea out of this text. Don't fear because of his presence. Don't fear because of his presence. He says, "Fear thou not, for I'm with thee." Listen, but you say, "God, I'm fearful because of my circumstances. God, do you see how bad things are getting? God, do you see that the government shut down? God, do you see our economy? God, do you see our debt? God, do you see what's going on in my life? Do you see the health concerns? And God, do you see all the financial problems? And God, do you see how my family has fallen apart? And I look around and I'm trying to make a difference and I'm trying to help people. But it seems like, God, nothing's getting anywhere. It seems like I'm busting my head in the wall, making no progress. God, I'm fearful because of my circumstances." You know what he says to that? "Fear thou not. Fear thou not. I don't care what you're going on, what's going on in your life, how fearful you may be. Not Tom, but Jesus is telling you tonight, fear thou not." He says it's going to be all right. He says, listen, it doesn't matter the circumstances. It doesn't matter the situations. It doesn't matter the struggles. And it doesn't matter the hardships. Listen, you may be worried. You may be in a state of panic. Listen, sometimes that's me. That describes me, okay? Sometimes you can put on a face at church, but in your heart, it's uneasy. It's stirring around, and it's always, man, you try to go to bed, but it's still there, and it's just driving you nuts. It's like, God, calm this down. Help me here. He's trying to help you right now, saying, "Fear thou not." He's saying you may be fearful because of your circumstances, but you can forge ahead because of your companion. Listen, he's always going to be with you. He says, "For I am with thee." Listen, he didn't say, I used to be, although he was. He didn't say, "I will be," although he will. He says, "But I am with you, present, currently, right now." Amen. He's trying to help you. He's trying to encourage you. By the way, that is the consistent advice of Scripture all throughout the Bible. Almost every time it says, "Don't fear," it always backs it up by God saying, "Because I'm with you." Listen, folks, I'm not just getting up here saying, "Hey, I know it's tough on you, but calm down, it's okay, everything will be fine. Take these two pills, call me in the morning." No, I'm not saying that. You're saying, "Why, Tom, why should I calm down?" Well, I don't really know, but you know, it's just better if we calm down. No, I'm not saying that. There's a valid reason so that you can calm down, so that you don't have to fear. You know what that is? He's with us. Amen. That's what the reason is. You can forge ahead because of your companion. That's the consistent advice of Scripture. Write some of these things down. Look them up. Deuteronomy 31, verses 6 and 8. Those verses talk about the same thing. He says, listen, it's the Lord. He it is that will go with thee. He will go before thee. He'll not fail thee. He'll not forsake thee. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. He's saying, listen, Moses, I know things are getting tough on you and the children of Israel. I know things may be a struggle, but I'll be with you. He tells Joshua, the book of Joshua, Joshua 1:9, he says, "Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for I, the Lord thy God, am with thee whithersoever thou goest." He's saying, Joshua, wherever you go, I'm going to be with you. Just like I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Listen, he says in this, Isaiah 41:10, "Fear thou not, I'm with you." Listen, folks, when you partake in the Great Commission, God's with you. Like Brother Kiever talked about, soul winning, giving out tracts and showing up Thursday night and trying to invite people and trying to visit people. Listen, I understand some of them don't want you to come. I have the same ones, okay? You knock on the door, they don't want you knocking on the door. They don't want you showing up. They don't want you come to church, and really inside they're like, "No, I don't want to come to church. I've been there. I know how it feels." But you know what? That shouldn't matter, because we're in the Lord's business. We're in his work. And he says, listen, he says, "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Yes, sir. Listen, when you partake in the Great Commission, he's with you. When you show up Thursday night, he's with you. When you go to that person's house, they may not want you to be there, but there's somebody else with you in the car, and that's Jesus. He's with you. Listen, Christians, I think we need to remember that in 2013. Because I think if we look too much at the world and the circumstances around us, we'll quit or we'll slack up. I'm saying don't look at those things. Look to him and keep on going. Listen, and that's something you can count on. He says in Hebrews 13:5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I'm so glad about that. I'm so glad I don't have to worry that if I mess up that he'll leave me. I don't have to worry that if I slip up that he'll leave me. I don't have to worry about it. He says, "I'm going to never, never leave you, never forsake you." What a great privilege that is. He's always with us. You know what that should motivate and spur us on to do, we should be confident in the face of pressure. How about this? Psalm 23. David says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me." Amen. Listen, he says, by the way, when he says the valley of the shadow of death, that's not the good part of the neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? He's saying, "I've been to the valley of the shadow of death." That's a treacherous area. That's a dangerous area. The warning signs are posted. You don't want to go in that neighborhood. That's a bad place. You're going to die if you go there. He says, "I don't have to worry about all that stuff around me." You know why? Because he's with me. Listen, folks, we face this stuff all the time. You face temptations all the time. You face pressures all the time. You know what the devil is after? You know what the end result of it is? He's trying to get you to slack up. He's trying to get you to quit. I'm saying, look up to Christ and realize he's with me. I can keep on going. About the area of temptation, there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Get this next part, though. God is faithful. He's not going to allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear. You say, "Yeah, I've heard all that about temptation." Listen, he says he'll be faithful. Every temptation you face, you know who's with me? He is. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's not going to leave me alone. He's not going to leave me to fend for myself. He's not going to leave me out there all by myself. And you have to deal with that temptation yourself. No. He's faithful. He's there with me. I can count on him. And my encouragement to you is this. Keep your focus on Christ. Keep your focus on Christ. Matthew chapter 14, about Peter. They see somebody walking on the water. They think it's a ghost. And he says, "Peace be unto you." Listen, Jesus wasn't, "Peace, what's up?" No, he usually did that because his disciples were scared to death, okay? They thought it was a ghost. He says, "Guys, chill out, calm down. It's me, be not afraid." As soon as that takes place, though, Peter has some guts. I mean, we get on him for sinking at the end of the story. But I don't think I would have been stepping out the boat. I don't know about you. All right? How dare he turn his eyes away from the Lord and sink? Listen, you probably would have still been in the boat. All right? Me too. With your life preserver, okay? But he steps out of the boat. He said, "Lord, bid me to come out to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come on." By the way, don't go in a certain direction unless Jesus says it's okay.
Amen.
He didn't just jump out the boat and said, "All right." No. He said, "Lord, can I come out?" He said, "Yeah, come on." That's when you can walk in the water, by the way. That's when you can do things that other people look around and say, "There's no way you could do that." It's when you do what Christ said.
Amen.
But nevertheless, in that story, he steps out and he's walking on the water. And listen, what happens? He's looking at Christ. He's walking on the water. This is amazing. This is a miracle. Look at this. What happens? The next verse says, he saw the wind boisterous. I don't know how you see wind, by the way. He probably saw the waves, okay? But he saw how tempestuous things were around him. And what that tells me, that verse in Matthew 14, is that he took his eyes off of Christ and looked at the circumstances around him. That's the key to it. Listen, the problem was not that there was a bad storm that day. The problem not that the waves were so high, big. The problem was not the wind was really gushing that day. The problem was not the rain was really coming down. The problem was he turned his eyes away from Christ onto the problem.
That's right.
And I'm saying the same thing applies to us. Listen, let me tell you something. Problems will always be there. I wish that wasn't true, that last statement, but it is. Problems are always going to be there. Listen, big or small, you're always going to have something. And a lot of times in 2013, Christianity nationwide is this. Well, as soon as God solves this problem, then I'll serve him. And as soon as God takes care of this financial issue, then I'll really get serious about giving. And as soon as God clears this request up in my life, then I'll serve him. No. That's not at all what biblical Christianity is. Biblical Christianity, even though this is hard and even though this is a challenge, he says, listen, even while you have the need, keep serving God. Even while things aren't all good, keep serving God. Because you know what? If you allow any excuse to stop you from serving God, you'll fall for any excuse to stop serving God.
You will,
and I will too. If we start looking around saying, well, God, as soon as this is taken care of, then I'll serve you. You will never serve God, because the devil will make sure you keep having problems in your way, and he'll keep throwing roadblocks in your way so that you'll never have the open opportunity to serve God. Problems will always be there. But here's the good news. He will always be present as well. He'll always be there too. Listen, so in that story, that's a great picture of the Christian life. If we'll keep our eyes on him, it doesn't matter what may be going on around us. And by the way, stuff's always going to be turbulent around us. It's always going to be stormy around us.
Amen.
The problem is we take a couple steps with the Lord and then we think, oh man, I'm doing pretty good myself.
Right.
No, you didn't make the first couple steps yourself. Okay? He helped you make those things. And you may have started out well in the Christian life, but don't get a big head and start thinking, look what I'm doing. No, look at what God's doing through you.
Amen.
And by the way, you may have served God for years and years and years and years. And you've gotten to a certain point, and thank God for that. But sometimes I think that we get to a certain point, Jeff, and then we feel we got to hold on and maintain it in our lives, in our own strength. Well, God's helped me be a soul winner all these years. I guess I got to hold on to that and maintain that. Let me tell you something. The same God that brought you this far is going to keep you going in the future if you will continue to hold on to Him.
Amen.
The Christian life is not God gets you to a certain level, then you hold on and try to maintain that the rest of your life. No. The Christian life is God helps me get where I am, and God will help me go even further in the future. That's the Christian life.
Amen.
The problems will always be there, but He will always be there as well. And the key is, don't take your eyes off Me. You know what I fear tonight is that some Christians in Woodlawn have some problems going on, and maybe you didn't mean to. Intentionally or unintentionally, you've taken your eyes off. And you are scared to death inside. Listen, it's always going to be like that. Keep your eyes on Him.
Amen.
You know what's going to keep you going? Keeping your eyes on Him. You know what's going to keep me going? Keeping my eyes on Him.
Right.
Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Listen, you keep your eyes fixed on Him. Listen, I don't want my attention to be diverted in any way.
Exactly.
By the way, well, I'll get to some of this later. But if God is your God, you'll be fine. He'll get you through the storm. However, let me just get in some of y'all's business real quick. If your job is your God, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
If your family's your God, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
If a relationship is your God, you're in trouble. If your ball team's your God, you're in trouble. If your paycheck's your God, you're in trouble. Okay? But if you have God where He should be, seek ye first. No. Not on down the list. Not whenever you get around to it. Not when you have some other extra time. Seek Him first. Listen, if I don't get all the other things done, I need to make sure He takes the priority in my life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You realize God can take care of you?
Yes, sir. Yep. 1,000%.
I heard somebody say, if you take care of God's business, He'll take care of your business.
Yes, sir.
That's right. So put Him first. By the way, put Him first in your church attendance.
Amen.
Put Him first in your church attendance. Well, you say, well, I deserve some time off. No, we don't. The Bible says so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Amen.
That's right.
Come on.
That's right. Listen, don't slack off in your soul winning.
Right.
People are dying and going to hell every day. Well, roundup's over. People are still dying going to hell.
That's right.
And I understand you say, I need a break. I need to slack off. Listen, you need to take care of yourself, but why don't you take care of His business, first of all?
Amen.
Don't fear because of His presence. Listen, all throughout the Bible, what I'm trying to teach you tonight is He says, don't fear. But the reason for it is because He's with you. He's with you. Listen, folks, I don't know what you may be going through, but He's with you. I know that. Number one, don't fear because of His presence. Number two, I like this part. Don't faint because this is personal. Don't faint because this is personal. Verse number 10 again, after He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Check out the next part. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God.
Yes.
He says, don't faint because this is personal. First of all, He says there's pressure. Listen, this word, I learned this years ago from Brother Jack Pease. Dismayed. You see that word? He says, be not dismayed. Dismayed. Here's what it means. A loss of resolve in time of difficulty. Now, what that's talking about, a loss of resolve, that's kind of an unfamiliar word for some of us. It basically means determination or a fixed purpose in time of difficulty. It's saying when things get tough, when the pressure gets ratcheted up, when things get a little hard on you, don't lose your determination. Don't lose your resolve. When things get hard on you, keep that fixed purpose in mind. Listen, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, like I was just talking about, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Keep your resolve. Keep your focus. Keep your determination. That's what He's saying when He says, don't be dismayed. He says it's a loss of resolve. It's basically saying you crumble under the pressure. When the pressure gets tight, you fall apart. You're saying, well, Tom, that's tough. Listen, we've probably all crumbled under pressure before.
Sure.
Okay, it happens.
Sure.
But this verse is saying, don't be dismayed. Don't lose your determination when things get difficult, when hard times come, when the pressure gets turned up. Don't crumble. Don't choke when the pressure gets tight. Don't quit. Don't give up. Here's the reason, though. Again, I like this. God doesn't just say, don't fear, and then he doesn't give us a reason why. I like that he just doesn't say, don't be dismayed. Well, why, God? I like this part. He says, for I am thy God. Amen. He's saying you don't have to faint. You don't have to quit. You don't have to fall down when the pressure comes your way, when things get tough on you, when the devil's on your back, when the people at the job are after you, when some people are talking about you and mocking you and ridiculing you. You don't have to crumble. Why? God says, because I am your God. Praise God. Listen, I'm so glad about that. I don't serve Allah. I don't serve Buddha. I don't serve Mary. I don't serve the Pope. I don't serve the writings of Ellen G. White. I serve Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And let me ask you something. I'm not saying this will be easy. I believe I've elaborated on that. But when trouble comes your way, if you fall apart, let me ask you something. What does that say to those that are unsaved around you about your God? When you crumble, when the pressure gets turned up, listen to me. What kind of testimony is that to your lost family members? Listen, I understand trouble comes our way, and we're all tempted to quit. Don't let me get up here and say, I am never tempted. No, we're all tempted to quit at times. All of us. All those thoughts run through all of our minds. Okay? But when you do quit and when you give in to that pressure, you've just lost your opportunity, perhaps, to witness to others around us about how great God is.
Amen.
It's true. Listen. Here, you say, I don't know if that's portrayed in the Bible. I think it is. Yeah. Daniel chapter 3, the three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego,
right.
They didn't bow.
That's right.
In case you haven't read the story in a moment, let me just condense it. They didn't bow, all right? They didn't bow. Listen, the fire was turned up 7 times more hotter than it was wont to be heated. All the other people bowed. By the way, about 10,000 people estimate came from Judah, their hometown, from Israel to Babylon when the captivity took place, like I was talking about at the beginning of the message. About 10,000. What does that tell you? A whole bunch of them boys that came from the hometown that they did bowed.
Right.
A whole bunch of them boys that learned the Old Testament bowed.
Right.
A whole bunch of them people that said Jehovah was their God bowed when the music played. But three boys didn't.
Praise God.
And they stood tough. And you say, well, we know the end of the story. They didn't get burned up. God protected them. Listen, that's not the key. They didn't know that God was going to bring them through. They didn't. In fact, they told the king, listen, our God is able to deliver us out of your hands. But if not, Brandon Morris preached about that. Listen, but if not, we're still not going to bow.
That's
we're
right.
Still not going to serve your false gods because there are no gods.
That's right.
Nebuchadnezzar, booyah. All right, that's what they're saying. Listen. Next chapter. Daniel chapter 4. You know who got saved? Nebuchadnezzar. I wonder why. I tell you, because he encountered some real Christians. He encountered some boys that it didn't matter how hot the fire got. It didn't matter how many other people were bowing around them. They weren't going to bow. And he encountered a man named Daniel that wasn't going to sacrifice himself, and he wasn't going to give in and drink the king's meat and drink the king's wine and eat the king's meat. He's saying, listen, I purpose in my heart that I'm not going to defile myself. Daniel chapter 4 shows up, and Nebuchadnezzar writes, read it sometime, he writes basically a gospel tract, Miss Tripp, to all the nations around him saying, this is what the God of heaven did to me.
Yeah.
Woo!
Right.
The guy that in chapter 3 set up an idol of himself, 90 foot tall for everybody to worship, in chapter 4 he's writing a gospel tract to the nations around him telling them how God changed his heart. How does that happen? That happens through some Christians taking their stand. And listen, it might not happen right away. Well, Brother Tom, I've been standing for God for 1 week on my job, and the rest of them haven't gotten saved yet, okay? It might not always be immediate, but you stay faithful. And listen, even if they don't change, even if they never change that you see, you still planted the seed in their heart. Listen, Woodlawn. Let's not become like a bunch of Lot, okay? Genesis 19, he tried to fit in with them. He tried to do everything they did, and he did very well. He said what they said. He did what they did. He went where they went, and then he comes to them after the angels tell him that they were going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he goes up to them, and guess what? He didn't mess up the gospel. He told them what was right. He says, up, get you out of the city, for the Lord will destroy it. Let's get out of here. He told them point by point precisely what God said. You know what they did? They laughed at him. Let me ask you something. I'm not trying to be harsh here, but are you a joke? Are you a joke? You say, what are you talking about? Listen, if you say all this Christian stuff, but you don't back it up with a life that demonstrates all that Christian stuff, you're a joke. That's when people will laugh at you for the wrong reasons. All right? You say, well, they laugh at me when I share the gospel. Well, you make sure it's for the right reasons. Make sure they're laughing at your God, not you. Okay? Listen, in your life, you better live it and then say it. Let your life back up what you say. Don't crumble under pressure. Be not dismayed. He's saying, hey, because I'm your God. That's why. That's why you don't have to crumble. You say, but Tom, do you have any idea what's going on in my life? No, I don't. But he does. And he says, by the way, I quoted it earlier, he's not going to allow you to be tempted above that you're able.
Right. That's right.
Your life may be spinning out of control right now, but God says, I'm not going to put too much on you that you can't handle. Right. You say, wow, God must be thinking I can handle a lot. I guess so. But you know what? He's doing it for a reason. And by the way, all things do work together for good. So you stay on. You stay in there. Don't quit. Don't crumble under pressure. And the reason for that is God's saying, you know why? Because I'm your God. I'm your God. Listen, as I said, I'm not trusting in some false God to keep me going. I'm not trusting in the pastor to keep me going. I'm trusting in God to keep me going.
Yeah, that's right.
I appreciate the pastor and his encouragement and his help,
yeah, right.
But I'm trusting in God to keep me going.
Amen.
I'm not trusting in my church friends to keep me going. I'm trusting in God to keep me going. I'm not trusting in just the social scene of Woodlawn to keep me encouraged and keep me pumped up. I'm not trusting in the prizes that I don't win around Roundup. Okay, I never win anything. It's okay. It's all right. I'm not complaining. All right? God's my God, so I'm good. All right? But I'm telling you, you can't just go for the promotions and the prizes and the big, you know, applause and recognition that you get around Roundup. Okay? Do it for him.
Amen.
And if you never get anything down here, you'll get it up there.
Amen.
The pressure that comes against us, but God says, it's personal. I'm your God. God says, listen, God says, when I'm on your side, you don't fall. That's right. God says, when you're in my family, I take care of people in my family. That's right. Listen, if you're a child of God, he'll take care of you. Now, the problem is, and the problem enters this, when this happens, when you quit. Okay? Everybody in God, on God's team, God takes care of them. Here's the Bible reference for that. David said, I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know what he's saying? God always takes care of his people. Always takes care of his people. David saw a lot of things in his life. He saw a lot of things in his life. Been through a lot of battles. Reigned as the king of Israel for 40 years. He says, I've seen a lot of things. But I'll tell you one thing I've never seen. God turned his back on his children. Listen, you're on God's team, you'll be fine. You're in his family, you can't lose. Unless you quit. You'll still go to heaven. But I'm talking about success in your life. You won't get it if you quit. So don't quit. Don't quit. It says, Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't give up, folks. Stay in there. Problems are going to come. Let me, real quick. Problems are going to come. Let me read something to you real quick out of 2 Corinthians. Check this out. This is the Apostle Paul talking about his own life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. He says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Listen, it's like he's going back and forth throughout the whole verses. You say, what is he doing? He's saying, we're troubled on every side. Paul's saying, if you don't believe I'm in trouble, I got it everywhere around me. But I'm not distressed. He's saying, we're perplexed. Yeah, you better believe there's some things in my life that I don't understand too well. But I'm not in despair. I'm not about to quit. I'm persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. God hasn't turned his back on me.
Amen.
And he says, I'm cast down, but I'm not destroyed. You know what he's saying all throughout those verses? I may be down, but I'm not out.
That's right.
Things may be hard on me, but listen, I got God on my side. I'll be fine. A just man falls 7 times, but gets back up.
Right.
You may be in the mud tonight. You may be on the ground saying, my life is in shambles. Listen, call out to God. He'll put you back together and keep you going. For his glory and by his grace. He can do it. He can do it. Psalm 124 makes this statement. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Then it says, let now Israel say. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. When people, I don't know the rest of the verses. But when people, their anger started to rise up against us. We would have fallen very quickly. When the floods came against us, we would have drowned it like that. But you know what? It was the Lord who was on our side. He took care of us.
Praise God.
listen, folks, as I said, I'm not trusting in Buddha, Allah, the Pope, Mary, all these different things. I'm trusting in Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. Yeah. He's my deliverer. He's my stronghold. Listen, he's the one that I can trust. He's my God. He's my strength, the one I can trust. He's my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. Listen, the problem may be that he doesn't hold those positions in your life. He should be your trust. He should be the one you rely on, the one you depend on. Listen, ask yourself this. When you have something that hits your life, who's the first person you turn to? What's the first thing that you do? For some of us, it's get on the computer, click, click. That's not going to do it. It's not going to do it. Let's turn to God. He can help you. If it had not been the Lord on our side, we would have been done and gone a long time ago. You know why we're here tonight? God's on our side. And you know how you can still be here in 5, 10, 15 years from now still serving God? By realizing, you know what? I don't have to be dismayed. I don't have to be dismayed because he's my God. Amen. Last thing very quickly. Focus on the progression. Don't fear because of his presence. Listen, you say, I'm fearful tonight. Realize he's with you. He's with you. He's with you when you try to knock on doors. He's with you when you're trying to live your day-to-day life. He's with you. Don't fear because of his presence. Number two, don't faint because this is personal. He says, hey, don't be dismayed. When things get difficult, don't crumble. Don't fall apart on me. Why? Because I'm your God. I'll take care of you. I know what I'm doing. And then the last thing, focus on the progression. Now I see a progression in this verse, the rest of it. It says, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. A lot of times we just use strengthen and help in its kind of its general sense. I want to be a little more technical just for a moment here. He says, I will strengthen thee. You know what that tells me? He's going to strengthen me in my labor. When he says, I will strengthen thee, the idea I get is this. Listen, he's going to infuse me with the energy, the ability that I need to keep on going. That's right. Okay? When I'm serving God, I say, God, strengthen me. He's going to send me the strength and the energy that I need to keep on going. Exactly. I believe that. Okay? He says, I will strengthen thee. 1 Timothy 1:12, he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. Amen. By the way, you don't serve God because you're able. It's because you serve a God that's able. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. And by the way, if you think, well, in my Christian life, you know, I've done a lot of things for God. Listen, you never were able. Neither was I. Okay? When he says, without me, you can do nothing, that includes past, present, and future. Not only can you not do anything without his help now, you haven't done anything without his help, and you won't in the future without his help. But you know what that tells me? If he's helping me, I can do it. It doesn't matter how bad the world gets. He can help you. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen. He says, I'm going to strengthen you. Check out the second one, though. Not only is he going to strengthen us, he says, I will help thee. Not only is he going to strengthen you in your labor, but number two, he's going to share the load. You know what that tells me? Not only is he going to send me the strength, Mike, that I need to keep on going, but he's going to share the load. He says, I'm going to help you. You know what that tells? That would be like if I'm working on something and you see that I'm not capable of finishing in myself, I say, guys, can you help me? You know, and you come up here and you take part. You share the load, in essence. He says, I'm going to help you. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, he says, come and learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. You know what he's saying? Work with me. I'll be your partner. Listen, when you feel like you can't make it anymore in that bus route, realize you got a partner that's helping you. That's right, folks. That's Bible. Don't look at me like I got three heads up here. That's Bible. He says, listen, when you can't carry on the load, he says, I'll take care of it. I'll help you. Yes, sir. I'm going to come alongside you and I'm going to help you. I'm going to be your partner. And then the last one, it just gets better and better in this verse. He says, I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to strengthen you for your labor. I'm going to help you. I'm going to share the load. Check out the last part. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Amen. When you uphold somebody, you know what you're doing? You're holding them up. You're holding them up. What kind of person do you hold up? Somebody that's fallen. Somebody that's weak. Somebody that can't do it anymore. Right. You see the progression? I see a progression in this verse. He says, I'm going to strengthen you, and I'm going to help you. I'm going to share the load. I'm going to be your partner. I'll be there with you. And then the last part, I'm going to uphold you. God, I can't even carry my share of the load anymore. God says, that's all right. Just stay faithful. I'll hold you up. I'll hold you up. Bible says, when I'm weak, he's strong. He'll hold you up when you're weak, when you're falling, when you can't make it anymore. My life verse, Psalm 116:8. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Listen, that's what God can do for us. Listen, folks.
You say, well, how do I determine whether God is strengthening me, helping me, or upholding me?
You don't know. You don't know. But let me tell you, he'll give you what you need in the moment that you need it.
Exactly.
And you'll look back on it sometimes, and they say, Tom, how did you get through that part of your life? I say, you know what? I don't know. I just know he held me up. He carried me through. There was no way that I had enough strength to get through that circumstance in my life, but he got me through, and I'm still here today. Listen, folks, fear thou not. Why? Because he's with you. Don't be dismayed. What's coming in your life? What's turning up the pressure in your life? Whatever it is, realize he's still your God. You don't have to faint. And then focus on the progression. He'll help you. He'll strengthen you. He'll help you. And he'll uphold you with the right hand of his righteousness. By the way, that's the strong hand of God. The left ain't bad either, but that's the strong hand of God. All right? He says, I'm going to hold you up with the right hand of my righteousness. You know why? Not so that you can get glory, but so that he can get glory.
Amen.
Don't fear because of his presence. Don't faint because this is personal, and focus on the progression. Listen, folks, I fear tonight that some people in Woodlawn, you've forgotten who's helping you. My encouragement to you tonight, right now, is this. Don't forget who's helping you. He can keep you faithful. He can keep you standing. He can keep you serving God. You don't have to backslide. You don't have to quit. You don't have to get wobbly. We don't have to be worried about you. Listen, you can live for God. You know why? Because he's your God. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank you for this night. Thank you again for the opportunity to preach your word. Lord, a lot was said, and I know the hour is somewhat late, Lord, but I pray that you would speak to our hearts. God, I pray that you would seal that in our hearts and our memories. Lord, give us what we need from this message and help us to apply it to our lives. Oh, God, please, we are needy people. God, we can't do it ourselves, but thank you so much that you're the one that helps us. Without you, Lord, there would be no hope. But, God, thank you that we know you as our Savior, and, God, that you can be right beside us, helping us no matter what is coming against us. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. We love you. In Jesus' name, let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed just for a moment. Let's open up the altar. If God spoke to your heart, why don't you come and tell him what you need. Say, God, I'm weak. I can't make it. Why don't you ask him for some strength? You fearful tonight? Have you forgotten he's with you? Don't be dismayed, folks. The pressure may get turned up, but by God's grace, you don't have to fall apart. Why don't I have to fall apart? Because he's your God. This is personal with God. Your struggle may be bad, but I tell you, God's bigger than your struggle. God's bigger than your problem. He's bigger than your frustration, whatever it may be. God can take care of it, but you have to trust him with it. He'll strengthen you. He'll help you, and he'll uphold you, but don't quit. You'll never experience those things if you quit. Do business with the Lord tonight. Make it specific. Tell him what you need. There's no need to slack off. There's no need to quit.